Translation? New translation? Into Tamil. How many, ask how many don't understand English? There's 5, of whom 3 are regular visitors. Maybe you can take in the back and translate, like, oh, Vidur is there.
So,
because if we have line by line translation, I only get to say half as much, and it becomes. Chakshurunmilitam yena tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadama Yam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Atak Padakamalam Shri Guru Navaishnavams Chak Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parajana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrinda Maneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haripri Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyavacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare The title of tonight's lecture is Understanding Krishna Through Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is, of course, very well known, at least by its name it's well known, although unfortunately not many people have read it. At least everyone knows the name of Bhagavad Gita. And even those who haven't read or studied Bhagavad Gita, which means almost all Hindus and almost everyone else also, it's generally heard or understood that in Bhagavad Gita the subject matters are karma, jnana, yoga and bhakti. Which is not untrue, but actually the subject is Krishna. As Lord Krishna himself states in Bhagavad Gita, Vedeshya sarvair aham eva vedyaha. In all the Vedas, I am the object of knowledge. Bhagavad Gita is, of course, a book of knowledge. So what is the subject? Well, the subject of all the Vedas, of which the Bhagavad Gita is considered the essence, the subject matter is Krishna. And although karma, jnana, yoga and bhakti are discussed in Bhagavad Gita, everything is in relationship with Krishna. Krishna is the speaker of Bhagavad Gita, so we shouldn't argue with him. He says, Vaideshya Sarvaraham Eva Vedyaha. If we're going to accept Bhagavad Gita as authoritative, then we should accept what Krishna says. If we say that, well, in Bhagavad Gita it says like this, but then my opinion is something different, then let's not discuss Bhagavad Gita. But if at all we are to discuss Bhagavad Gita, then we should take what Krishna says as authoritative, because he is the speaker of Bhagavad Gita. We see repeatedly Vyasadeva introduces Krishna speaking by saying, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Krishna is Bhagavan. Now, of course, the Bhagavad Gita is the summary of all Vedic knowledge, but not all Vedic knowledge is there, because it's only a summary. So the term Bhagavan has been defined in the Vishnu Purana. This appears by Parashara, who is the father of Sri Vyasadeva, that Aishvaryasya, Samagrasya, Viryasya, Yashasya, Shriyaha, Jnana Vairagya Yoschaiva, Shannam Bhaga Itingina. Bhagavan means that person who is possessed of all opulence, all power, all fame, all beauty, all knowledge, and all renunciation. This is Bhagavan. So Krishna is not an ordinary person. He is not merely a philosopher. He is that philosopher whose philosophy is synonymous with truth. Philosophy, generally we take to mean someone's opinion, my philosophy. Or we say Shankara Mat, the opinion of Shankara. But when Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, in several places, he says, this is my mat. Yoginam api sarvesham matgate nantaratmana shraghavan bhajate yomam sana yukta tamo mataha. Mataha, in my opinion, Krishna says, the best of all yogis is one who, with great faith, worships me in bhakti. So when Krishna says, this is my opinion, it doesn't mean that Krishna's opinion, Krishna has his opinion and someone else has their opinion and it's all on the same level. No. Krishna's opinion is synonymous with truth. It is factual. So we should understand what is stated in Bhagavad Gita. And if at all we are to approach Bhagavad Gita, then we should accept that everything in here is factual truth. It is not simply some opinion. As Arjuna himself accepted what Krishna said, Saravam etadritam manye yanmam vadasi Keshava. O Keshava, everything that you say to me, I accept fully. This is the way to accept Bhagavad Gita. Here, the name Keshava is given, and Vyasadeva and Arjuna have given many names for Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. The name Bhagavan is there, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. That's more like a title or position. Just like we have title, manager of the steel plant. So that is a title of a position. But the name I didn't get. Name of the manager of the steel plant is? In the steel plant, someone should know. All right, we'll give another example. We can say that the prime minister is the name of a position, and the name of the person, the incumbent prime minister, is Sri Manmohan Singh. So, like that, Bhagavan is the name of a position. Of course, it's not an alterable position. Today there's one prime minister, and in future there will be another, and in the past there have been others. But the position of Bhagavan is eternal. And his personal name, as given in Bhagavad Gita, he has many names, because he has many qualities. He's addressed by Arjuna as Keshava, which means who has beautiful hair. Actually, all these names have many meanings. Another meaning is he who is the controller of Brahma and Shiva. Then Arjuna also addresses Krishna as Krishna, Chanchalam hi mana, Krishna. He addresses him as Krishna, or Krishna. Krishna means the personal name for Bhagavan. Bhagavan means who has all opulences, and Krishna, that means all wealth, all strength, all fame, all knowledge, all beauty, all renunciation. And Krishna means all attractive. So a person becomes attractive by their qualities. Krishna has all qualities, so he is known as Krishna. That's the meaning of Krishna in a nutshell. Then so many names are given for Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Madhava, which means descendant of the Madhu dynasty, and also means the husband of Lakshmi. Govinda is another name we find in Bhagavad Gita for Krishna. Govinda means he who gives pleasure to the senses, to the cows, and to the earth. Then we have Madhusudan, another name given in Bhagavad Gita. You've all heard these names before, they're all in Bhagavad Gita. Madhusudan means who is the killer of one demon called Madhu. At the beginning of creation, Madhu, Kaita, two demons, are killed by Krishna. Then another name for Krishna in Bhagavad Gita is Achyuta. Achyuta means who is never deviated, who never falls from his position. Senayor ubhayo madhye ratam sthapya me chuta. Arjuna asks Krishna that you please place the chariot between the two armies, Achyuta. So Arjuna, he is not Krishna. He is a friend of Krishna's, but he is not on the same level as Krishna. Arjuna is bewildered, but Krishna is never bewildered. He never falls from his position of transcendental knowledge. Therefore, he is, as Arjuna addresses him in Bhagavad Gita, Deva Deva. Deva literally means who is effulgent, who is shining. And the devas, they are worshipped. They are worshipable persons. But who is worshipped by the devas is Krishna. He is Jagatpati. He is the Lord of the universe. So many names are given for Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Yogeshwara. At the end of Bhagavad Gita, the name is given Yogeshwara, who is the master of all yogis. So many names are given for Krishna. Therefore, to state, as some people do, they try to relegate Krishna to simply being an idea or a concept. They say that, well, Krishna is just some idea. But so many names are given for Krishna which describe his qualities. So certainly Krishna is not just some idea or some concept or a representation of something else, but he's definitely a person. Senayor ubhayor madhye ratam sthapya me chuta. Krishna is being spoken to by Arjuna. You take my ratam to the middle of the two armies. So Krishna, Arjuna is speaking to him. And Krishna is speaking to Arjuna. There's an exchange. So Krishna is definitely a person. We hear so many topics about Krishna in Mahabharata, how he's giving instruction to Arjuna, how he is making it appear as if the sun has set, but actually is not set in the case of Jayadratha, Arjuna hunting down Jayadratha. So many instances are there, but somehow or other people, they misunderstand. In Bhagavad Gita, it's very famous that chapter 11 is the Vishwarup Darshan, in which Lord Krishna shows to Arjuna his Vishwarup, his form as the universe. And many people presume that this is actually Krishna. The real form is the Vishwarup, and the Vishwarup concentrates to become Krishna, and Krishna, this unmanifest or avyakta Vishwarup, that's what Krishna comes from, and that's the real thing. But this idea is directly addressed by Krishna himself in Bhagavad Gita, that the idea that ultimately the Supreme is avyakta, unmanifest, and Krishna is a vyakta, he is a manifest form of that which is ultimately avyakta, unmanifest, aprakat. Lord Krishna says, avyaktam vyaktim apanam manyante mam abuddhayaha param bhavam ajananto mam avyayam anuttamam. Lord Krishna says that those who postulate that there is the avyakta and my personality has come from that, Krishna has a word to describe such people. You may think, well, they're very intelligent. Krishna says, abuddhayaha. They're very unintelligent. They have no intelligence. Anyone who thinks that Krishna's personality, the person Krishna who spoke to Arjuna, that person is simply a manifestation of something else, Lord Krishna says, such a person is, in simple language, a fool. Because they do not know Krishna's higher nature and that he is indivisible. Krishna is not something. Avyaya means he doesn't come into existence. He doesn't. He's not a manifestation of something else. As Lord Krishna speaks in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, even the jiva, who is very small in relationship to Bhagavan, even the jiva does not come into existence. Na jayate mriyate va kadachin nayam bhudva bhavita va nabhuyaha ajo nityam shashvata yam parana nahanyate hanyamane sharire. Even the ordinary jiva has no coming into existence. The jiva is eternal. The jiva is never born. The jiva never dies, is never killed, nor does he kill anyone else. He's always existing. Death, what we see as death, is only the death of the body. But the jiva exists before any body that we may see. In this room we have, how many? About 50 bodies. So in each body, the jiva that is presently associated with that body, that existed before this body existed. And after the body ceases to exist, what we call death, the jiva will continue to exist. So the jiva is not born, the jiva doesn't die. So what to speak of Bhagavan? He does not come into existence. He is eternally existent. So what is Krishna's position? If he is the subject matter to be understood in the Vedas, then obviously Krishna is not an ordinary person. This idea, Krishna is an ordinary person, or he was a great philosopher. There are so many great philosophers. Pandit Nehru was a great philosopher. And we have so many modern so-called philosophers. Osho is a great philosopher. Just look at the state of the world. Well, they called Osho a great philosopher. And what was his philosophy? Have sex. That's a monkey. Monkey, what is that? That's not philosophy. You don't need to become a big philosopher for that. You just become a monkey. So he's died now, and no doubt that's what he's become, because that's what he wanted. Anyway, it's not that there are so many philosophers and Krishna is just another philosopher. But he is speaking philosophy, but his position of speaking philosophy is different from that of other people speaking philosophy. Those who speak others apart from Krishna who speak philosophy do or try to understand the truth through philosophy, they ultimately, they're speaking philosophy or investigating philosophy with the object ultimately of coming to Krishna. Whether they understand that or not, ultimately philosophers have to understand Krishna. And when Krishna speaks philosophy, he does so to explain about himself, because he is the object of all knowledge. That's why we find in Srimad Bhagavatam it's described that early in the morning, Krishna, taking the role of an ordinary human being to instruct human society, although he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, would meditate upon himself. Now that doesn't mean that everyone should meditate upon themselves, everyone should meditate upon Krishna. But because Krishna is the object of meditation, Krishna meditates upon himself. So foolish people, they see that, well, Krishna is speaking philosophy, and he speaks that aham sarvasya prabhavaha, I am the source of everything, and vedesya sarva aham eva vedyaha, I am the object of knowledge in the Vedas. So foolish people think, so-called philosophers, or misled, misguided philosophers, they think that, well, Krishna is speaking philosophy, and he says that he is the source of everything, he is the object of knowledge, so I'm speaking philosophy and I should do the same thing. This is foolishness, to equate Krishna with ourselves. Therefore, one has to understand Bhagavad Gita very carefully. In the beginning, Lord Krishna states the position of the jiva, how the jiva is within this world. He is unborn and undying, but due to identification with the various bodies he is placed in, he has to take birth after birth after birth. But Lord Krishna, although he appears to have birth, his birth is not like ours. Janma karma chame divyame gangyo veti tatvataha tyatva deham punarjanma naitimameti sorjuna. One who understands the transcendental nature of Krishna's apparent janma, although he has no actual janma, ajopi sannavayatma bhutanam ishvaropi sam prakritim swam adishthaya sambhavame atmamaya. Krishna explains, I have no actual janma. I am not born. Krishna's form, he appears in this world, and we think, well, my body, this is, it grows, it gets old, it dies, so Krishna's must be the same. But Krishna says, avyaya atma, means that his form, it never dies, it never changes. Krishna's form is eternal, but he appears to take birth, that is his mercy upon us. He appears in this world, Atma Maya, out of his mercy upon us, through his transcendental potencies, he appears in his original transcendental form. Although he is beyond this material nature, he appears within it out of his mercy. He is the supreme controller, but he appears within this world. So, by understanding the nature of Krishna's appearance, that he is beyond this material nature, but nevertheless he appears within it, by understanding that, simply by understanding this, we also become liberated. We are taking birth after birth after birth, and we stop taking birth when we understand the nature of Krishna's birth, that Krishna's so-called birth is transcendental. Bahuni mevyatitani. What is that verse? Bahuni mevyatitani. Janmani tavacharjana. Tani aham veda sarvani. Natvaham. Natvaham. Yeah, I lost the last line. Tani aham veda sarvani. Mam tu veda nakaschana. I got it. Yeah. Krishna says that apparently I have had many births and you also, Arjuna, but I don't forget anything, you forget. So this is the difference between Bhagavan and the Jiva, that he doesn't forget everything, he knows everything. Vedaham samatitani vartamanani charjuna bhavishyani chabhutani mantu vedana kastana. That Krishna knows everything, past, present and future, but no one can know him. So his position is that he is supreme in all respects. As he states in Bhagavad Gita, Natav parataram nanyat kinchidasti dhananjaya. Dhananjaya. Arjuna, he is famous for his glorious activity of bringing wealth for performing the Rajasuya Yajna for Yudhishthira Maharaj. Therefore, he's called Dhananjaya. But Krishna's glory is far greater, because whatever activities a person may do, they can never come close to Krishna. No one is equal to Krishna. No one is superior to him. He is in all respects superlative. He is supreme in all respects. Therefore, again, this idea that Krishna is a product of something else, he's a transformation of something else, he's a product of the Triguna, just like we are in this material world, influenced by Sattagun, Rajagun, Tamagun. But Krishna says, Daivihi esha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya. This maya going on under Sattagun, Rajagun, Tamagun, that is my maya, that is Krishna's energy. He is not a product of maya. Maya is a product of him. Therefore, mam eva ye prapadyante mayam etam tarantite. By surrendering to Krishna, we can cross over maya. So how can we think that Krishna is a product of maya? It's amazing that people call themselves swamis and pundits, and they say that they're talking on Bhagavad Gita, and they give so many wrong ideas. Although Bhagavad Gita is very clear, Krishna says, mama maya. This maya is my maya. So how can Krishna be a product of maya? Or how can what he says be a product of maya? How can Krishna be mistaken? There's no mistake in anything Krishna says. But because people do not surrender to Krishna, therefore, they read Bhagavad Gita and they explain it and they have no idea what they're talking about. They think they know what they're talking about. They may have some knowledge of Sanskrit, and therefore they're able to produce some kind of speech, but it's their so-called Bhagavad Gita lectures are simply, just like people pass stool out of their backside, they pass stool out of their mouth by speaking Bhagavad Gita, purporting to speak Bhagavad Gita and avoiding Krishna or denigrating Krishna or not coming to the point of understanding Krishna and calling themselves pandits. So we should be very careful. We should hear Bhagavad Gita as it is. Then how should we understand Bhagavad Gita? Bhagavad Gita is supposed to be that knowledge which takes us out of illusion. What is that illusion? Well, we should become free from illusion. Arjuna was in illusion. He was in Maya. He heard Bhagavad Gita. Then he became free from illusion. He spoke to Krishna. Nashto moha smriti labdha tvat prasada maya chuta sthitosmi gata sandeha karishye vachanam tava. He said that now, after hearing what you have spoken to me, Lord Krishna, my illusion is destroyed and I have again remembered what I am to do by your mercy, Achyuta. Achyuta again means he who is not illusion, he who doesn't fall down from his position. So by the mercy of Achyuta, Arjuna became free from illusion, and the result of that was he is now fixed in his position, gata sandeha, all his doubts are destroyed, and he's ready to follow what Krishna says. So Arjuna, his illusion was dissipated by hearing Bhagavad Gita. After studying Bhagavad Gita, our illusion should also dissipate. It's not that after reading Bhagavad Gita, we should still have doubt. Of course, we may not be as brilliant as Arjuna that we can understand it immediately. But we should become free from ignorance. Vaidaishya savaraham eva vedyaha. Veda, we study Veda. Veda means knowledge, so we should acquire the knowledge. The basic knowledge is that given by Krishna, that we are jiva, we are eternal, we are not the body, and Krishna is supreme. We should understand this. And Krishna is supreme, therefore, like Arjuna, karishye vachanam tava, we should be ready to follow Krishna's instructions. So Arjuna is free from illusion. And what does Arjuna say about Krishna? He says, param dhamma, param brahma, param dhamma, pavitram paramam bhavan, purusham shashvatam divyam, adidevam ajam vibhum. He says that you, Krishna, are the supreme truth, the supreme reality, the supreme abode of all good qualities. You are the supreme pure. That's another illusion, that's another wrong idea, that Krishna is impure. Some people, they promote this. It might seem like that to worldly vision, but Arjuna, he doesn't have worldly vision. And he says, pavitram paramam bhavan. You are the supreme pure. Just by chanting the names of Krishna, one becomes purified. So how can one surmise that Krishna is impure? Only one who has impure intelligence can think like that. What else does Arjuna say about Krishna in Bhagavad Gita? Purusham shashvatam divyam. You are the eternal divine person. And Adi Deva. You are the original of all the devas. Ajam, unborn, and Vibhum, all powerful. So not only Arjuna says this, but Ahus tvam rishayah sarve devashya naradas tata asito devado vyasa swayam chaiva bravishine. This truth of Krishna's supremacy is spoken, it's not just Arjuna who says it, but all the great knowers, as in the ancient times, Asita, Devala, Narada, Vyas, they all come to the conclusion that Krishna is supreme, and in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna speaks that again to Arjuna. So Krishna is the supreme in all respects. Arjuna, who is free from illusion, says so. Krishna himself says so. Everything comes from Krishna. Mataparatrana, no one is superior to Krishna. Aham sarvasya prabhavo, matasarvam pravartate. Krishna says, everything comes from me. Everything is produced from me. So again, the idea that Krishna is a product of something else is a completely wrong idea. Everything comes from Krishna. He is the origin of everything. Everything we see is coming from Krishna. And in one sense, Krishna is the universe and he's everything within the universe. But at the same time, he is aloof from everything. This is a great mystery, how he is everything in everything, and yet at the same time he is aloof. Mayata tamidam sarvam jagat avyakta murtina matsthani sarvabhutani nachaham teshvarastitaha. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says that this whole universe, in one sense, is me. It is an avyakta, or it's an avyakta manifestation of Krishna. It's Krishna, but everything, all living beings are within Krishna, but that doesn't mean that Krishna is every living being. He's separate from them. So, Krishna is a great mystery to understand. Krishna, he states in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna, that this is Raja Vidya Raja Guhyam. This knowledge of Krishna in Bhagavad Gita is the king of knowledge, and it is Raja Guhya. It is the most secret. Now, why is it the most secret? You can purchase Bhagavad Gita here and there. Why is it a secret? Because you can read, but not everyone can understand. How can we understand? The ability to understand also comes from Krishna, who states in Bhagavad Gita that he is within everyone's heart, sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto matasmriti jnanavapohanam cha. And from him come knowledge, remembrance and forgetfulness. So many people study Bhagavad Gita, but not everyone understands Krishna. They may not even find that they, even though Krishna is speaking about himself, and even though he speaks about karma, jnana, yoga, he speaks about so many different topics, right? What are the effects of tamagun, sattagun, rajagun? He speaks of the creation of the universe, the destruction of the universe, so many topics, but everything is in relationship with Krishna. But amazingly, so many people, they read Bhagavad Gita and they don't understand that the subject matter is Krishna. Why is that? Because bhaktya mama vijanati. Krishna can only be understood by bhakti. Bhakti means the attitude of, or begins with, or the basis of that is surrender to Krishna, taking shelter in Krishna. Tam eva sharanam gacha sarva bhavena bharata. Krishna speaks to Bharata, Arjuna, that you should take full shelter of him, that Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is Krishna, sarva bhavena, in all respects. If we are to understand Krishna, we have to take shelter of Krishna. We cannot understand Krishna simply by an academic method. Our intelligence is insufficient to understand Krishna. Our intelligence is insufficient to understand anything. There's a mosquito flying around. So we could spend our whole life studying mosquitoes. We wouldn't understand everything about it. Here at the steel plant, is there anyone who can claim that he knows everything about steel? No. If anyone does claim, they're a fool. That's all. Because we cannot know everything about anything. We can know something about many things, but we cannot know everything about anything, because knowledge is unlimited. So, knowledge about anything is unlimited, and Krishna is unlimited. Everything in this world has some limit. It has a beginning and an end, but Krishna has no beginning and no end. So, how can we understand Krishna? We can understand Krishna by His mercy. But that is possible. Bhakti means taking shelter of Krishna, sarva-bhavena, in all respects. Now, there are many people who worship Krishna. They offer some agarbati in the morning, but they also worship so many other gods. And they consider that, well, there is Krishna and there's Murugan. In Tamil Nadu, Murugan is very popular. Then Shiva and Shakti, Amma, and so many, Vinayagam, so many gods are there. Every day there are some new gods, it seems. But the supreme, eternal personality of Godhead is Krishna. Just like I was saying, Prime Minister is a position, and it changes. So the devas also, these names like Indra, Chandra, they're the names of positions, and it changes after a long time. After many, many thousands of years, the present Indra will die and someone else will become Indra. But Krishna's position is eternal. Therefore, Krishna tells us in Bhagavad Gita that antavattupalamteshan tadbhavatyalpamedasam, that those who worship the devas, all the different gods, they do so for the sake of getting some temporary result. Because the devas themselves have a temporary position, so they cannot give anything permanent. Therefore, Lord Krishna says that those who worship the devas, they are alpamedasa, means not very intelligent, small intelligence. So in Bhagavad Gita, it's clearly established by Krishna and accepted by Arjuna and accepted by all actual teachers of Bhagavad Gita that Krishna is supreme. We are to surrender to Him. He is the origin of everything. He is the maintainer of everything. He is Pitaham Asya Jagataha. He is the father of the whole universe. Mata Dhata Pitamahaha. He is the mother of the universe, the grandfather, the support of everything. Aham Bija Prada Pita. He is the seed-giving father of all living beings. He is in every respect supreme. And we can attain the perfection of our lives by understanding Krishna. We can get free from birth and death by understanding His transcendental position. Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tatvatah. And even within this world, we can attain shanti. We can attain peace by understanding bhoktaram yagya tapasam, that Lord Krishna, He is the beneficiary of all yajnas, all sacrifices, and all tapasya. All endeavors, everything should be done for the satisfaction of Krishna, as Lord Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita. Yad karoshi yadashnasi, yad jahoshi dadasi yat, yad tapasyasi kaunteya, tat karushva madarpanam. All that we do, all that we eat, all austerities that we perform, all charity that we give, all endeavors should be done, everything should be offered to Krishna. So Krishna is the ultimate beneficiary of everything. He is Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. He is the Lord and Supreme Controller of all the planets. We are saying the name of the Prime Minister, and he's a respectable person, no doubt. But his position is very, 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 very tiny compared to that of Krishna, who is the controller of all the planets. And Krishna is Suhridam Sarva Bhutanam. He is the best friend of all living beings. If we understand this about Krishna, that he is the supreme enjoyer, he is the supreme lord, the supreme controller, and he is the supreme friend of all living beings, then even in this material world, which Krishna and Bhagavad Gita certifies as anityam asukam lokam, everything here is temporary and full of misery, dukhalayam ashashvatam, then even within this world, we can attain peace by understanding Krishna. You are also mostly scientists, so here the engineers. So Krishna is also the supreme scientist. Maya dhakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam hetuna anena kunteyam jagadvi parivartate. In the steel plant, you manipulate steel, or you make steel. It's a great science. You have to do exactly. You have to have the pure iron extracted from the iron ore. That's a whole process in itself. You do that here? That's not done here. You just bring the iron, is it? And then you smelt it with an admixture of carbon. Everything has to be, you have to have the right purity of iron at the right temperature and right amount of carbon or whatever mixed in to get the kind of steel that you want to produce. So it's a very technical process. It has to be done exactly. Otherwise the steel, instead of having the stainless club, you'll have the stain, instead of having stainless steel, you'll have rusty steel. So that means you're not, unless it's stainless, then it means the science didn't get your science, your training properly. So the steel should be, there are different kinds of steels for different purposes, and that they require to be processed in exactly the right way. So we can just imagine, Krishna says, Maya dhyakshena prakriti, the whole material nature. Manipulating iron to make steel means to manipulate one aspect of material nature in one way. But Krishna is manipulating the whole material nature. Everything is going on under his direction. So just imagine what a great scientist Krishna is. Scientists shouldn't be atheists. They should all worship Krishna, understanding he is the best scientist. And even what intelligence we have to do science, buddhiya buddhimatam asmi, that intelligence is Krishna, or comes from Krishna. Krishna is within everyone's heart, sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishta, ishvara sarva bhutanam hridesha arjuna tishtati. So the intelligence we get, that comes from Krishna. So in all respects, anyone who is actually intelligent, they should try to understand Krishna as he presents himself in Bhagavad Gita. And ultimately, he tells Arjuna that manmana bhavavad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskara mame vaishyasi satyante pratijane priyosime. He tells Arjuna that you should always think of me. There's a lot to think about, isn't there? If we think how Krishna is the supreme controller, he's the lord of all the demigods, he's within everyone's heart, he's manifesting the material nature. He knows everything, past, present, and future. The three modes of material nature are under his control. There's so many things we've discussed this evening about Krishna. There's a lot to think about, more than a little jiva can think about very easily. So Krishna says, think of me, become my devotee, worship me, bow down to me. If you do this, then surely you will come to me. So Krishna is so great, he is to be understood through Bhagavad Gita. He says, always think of me. We should always think of Krishna. How can we always think of Krishna? He says in Bhagavad Gita, Satatam kirtayanto mam yatantascha duravrataha namashyantascha mam bhaktya nitya yukta upasate. That those who are actual Mahatmas, they always engage in glorifying Krishna. They speak about Krishna. I like to speak about Krishna. Because we don't have knowledge of Krishna, we talk about politicians, sports stars, movie stars, and so on and so on. Because our tendency is to think of someone great. We look up to someone who is great. But Krishna is by far the greatest. So we should glorify Krishna. Especially kirtan is recommended for this age, the chanting of the holy names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If we want to think of Krishna, we can do so easily by chanting his names. And we should endeavor with great determination to serve Krishna. We should bow down to Krishna, and in this way, always be occupied in understanding Krishna. Krishna, we can remember him at all times, in everything. Krishna describes himself, Rasoham apsukontaya. Krishna is the taste of water. Krishna is so great, Krishna is everywhere, Krishna is so wonderful. But even when drinking water, we can remember, rasoham, the taste of water is Krishna. Prabhasmi shashi suryaho. In the daytime there is sunlight, that prabha, that light from the sun, that is Krishna. And at night, there is the light of the moon. Now it's getting less. Now it's in the Krishna paksha, so it's getting darker. Now we have neon lights, so you don't notice. But in the village they also have neon lights. In the field, you'll see how the moon every night is becoming bigger and smaller. So that moonlight is a representation of Krishna. Pranav, in Vedic culture, people will regularly hear Pranav. The Brahmins are chanting Omkar. In all the Vedas, there is Omkar. So when we hear, we'll understand that this Om, A-U-Ma, that is Krishna. And Shabda Ke, any sound, that is Krishna. He is the ability in man. We see some very capable person, that capability is Krishna. Even when we're eating our food, we can remember, Aham Vaishvanaro Bhutva Praninam Deham Ashrita Pana Pana Samayukta Pachamayanam Chaturvidham. Even that Pachan Shakti, the ability to digest the food, that is also a representation of Krishna. So if we learn Bhagavad Gita from those who are actual students of Bhagavad Gita, if we learn Bhagavad Gita as it is, then certainly we will see Krishna everywhere, in everything, and the result of that is the result of seeing, of remembering Krishna, or seeing Krishna everywhere, is Yomam Pashyati Sarvatra Savam Chamai Pashyati Tasyaham na pranashyami sachale na pranashyati. Krishna says, for one who sees me everywhere and everything in me, I am never lost to him and he is never lost to me. We will always be with Krishna. We will always remember Krishna. And this sweetness of being with Krishna, that is bhakti ras, that is hinted of in Bhagavad Gita, that ananya cheta satatam yomam smarti nityashaha tasyaham sulabha partha nitya yoktasya yoginaha. For one who always thinks of me, Krishna says, I am easy to obtain. I make myself easily available to him. Krishna wants us to come to him, and he helps us to come to him if we are serious to understand him. So, Krishna is the subject matter of Bhagavad Gita, and karma, ultimately that is meant, mat karma krin, working for Krishna. Jnana, that is, jnana means to know Krishna, that vedeshya sarvaharameva vedyaha, he is the knowledge, the object of knowledge in the Vedas. Yoga, that is also ultimately meant to understand Krishna. Yoginam api sarvesham madgatena antaratmana shadhavam bhajate yomam sane yuktatamo mataha. Yoga, Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, the topmost yoga is the yoga of worshipping him with great faith. So, although karma, jnana and yoga are described in Bhagavad Gita, ultimately the only purpose is to inform us of the greatness of Krishna and to engage us in his bhakti, bhaktya mama vijanati, by which Krishna may be fully known. So, Krishna is to be understood through Bhagavad Gita. If we come across people who are envious of Krishna, they will explain Bhagavad Gita in a different way. Therefore, we should learn Bhagavad Gita as it is from persons who are devotees of Krishna. We see that, although in Bhagavad Gita, it's very clear that Krishna is supreme and he is to be surrendered to, that despite so many editions of Bhagavad Gita being distributed in the Western world, no one became a devotee of Krishna, no one had any idea to become a devotee of Krishna. But when Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is was published, thousands and thousands of people came to Krishna consciousness, because he is presenting Bhagavad Gita as it is, not in any other way. So please study Bhagavad Gita as it is. We have copies here. Can you show? If at all you want to understand Bhagavad Gita, then you should study Bhagavad Gita as it is, not someone else's interpretation. The glory of Srila Prabhupada's presentation of Bhagavad Gita is that his presentation is to illuminate what Krishna says, not to interpret it. Yeah, just show up, two hands, Gaur-Nitai, standing like this. So this Bhagavad Gita as it is available here in English and Tamil. And those who want to follow in the footsteps of Arjuna and in the modern age, people like Krishna Das, they will take this Bhagavad Gita as it is and make their life perfect. Hare Krishna. Does anyone have any question, please? We have the cordless mic. If anyone wants to ask a question, please raise your hand and the cordless mic will be brought to you. Yeah, there's a question there. This gentleman has a question. Please give it to me.
Yeah. If Krishna is in everything, and everything is in the realm of Krishna,
Everything is what, sorry?
Yeah.
Yeah. Everything is manifest from Krishna's energies. Why should one think of anything else? You mean why do we think of anything else? Well, like Lord Krishna speaks in Bhagavad Gita, Mohitam Nabhi Janati. People don't know me. Tribhya Gunamaya Bhaiver, Edamana Madat. Tribhya Gunamaya Bhaiver, Ebi Sarame Jam Jagat, Mohitam Nabhi Janati Namavya Yamana. That this whole world is made of the Triguna, Rajaguna, Sattvaguna, Tamaguna. Everything is coming from Krishna, but people don't know Krishna because they're bewildered by these modes. Everything is Krishna, but we don't see as Krishna. Just to give a rough example, everything is made of atoms. Huh? Everywhere there's atoms. But unless we're trained, we don't see atoms. So everything is Krishna, but unless we're trained to understand, then we don't realize how everything is manifest from Krishna's energy. Krishna is everywhere, Krishna is in everything, everything is manifested from Krishna. When we get this knowledge, then we can begin to see Krishna in everything. By scientific training, you can be trained that this is made of atoms. You don't see. By scientific training, we can understand. Of course, Krishna's not making up everything in the same way as atoms do, because he's within the atom also. But first of all, by understanding Krishna's position, then by surrendering to him, entering into an attitude of bhakti toward him, we eventually come to the point where we can see him face to face as Arjuna was doing. Yeah, any other question, please? Are Shiva and Krishna the same? In one way, yes, in as much as Krishna is, as we have stated, everything, but as Lord Krishna establishes, Matah Parataram Nanyat. Nothing is superior to me. So, and Lord Krishna also states in Bhagavad Gita about the different that Kamaistaistai Hritagyana Prapadyante Inya Devata. Those who go to Anya Devata for satisfaction of material desires, they are Hritagyana. They do so because of spoiled intelligence. So, Lord Shiva is not the same as Krishna. In one sense, yes, but in another sense, no. This is discussed in Brahma Samhita. This specific topic is taken up. In Bhagavad Gita, the general point that Krishna is supreme, that means above Lord Shiva also. His name is given there in Bhagavad Gita, Kesha, which means the master of Shiva and Brahma. In Brahma Samhita, the Siddhanta, or the proper understanding of this, is given that Kshiramyata Dadhi Vikara Yogat Sanjayate Nahitataf Pritagasti Heto Yasham Bhutama Pitata Samupaiti Karyat Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Vajami. That just as yogurt, dahi, is a transformation of milk, in the same way, Lord Shiva is manifested from Lord Vishnu or Krishna. So, from milk comes yogurt, not from yogurt comes milk. They're both the same thing, but they have different functions. And the original is the milk. So in the same way, Lord Shiva is in some sense non-different from Lord Vishnu, but in other ways different. And he is also worshipping Lord Vishnu, ultimately. Anything else? So Lord Krishna is supreme and we should chant his holy names. Supreme means no one is equal to him. We shouldn't think, well, Krishna is supreme and all the others are supreme. And yeah, we agree Krishna is supreme, and then we'll go to another lecture and someone else will say someone else is supreme and we'll agree with that also. We should know what this means. Supreme means always and not as a matter of opinion. It's not interpretable. People ask, what is your interpretation of Bhagavad Gita? As soon as we interpret Bhagavad Gita, then it becomes useless. We should not interpret, we should just follow what it says. So Krishna is supreme, and we should chant his holy name. Who agrees with that? Not everyone. What did I do wrong? Why are there doubts? Any doubts? Why? There's a doubt, please get the mic. Of course, it may not be easy to accept immediately because Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that Bahunam Jamanamante Jnanabam Bam Prapadyate Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sudurlabha. After many, many births, those who are jnanis, they surrender to me, understanding me to be all in all, Vasudeva. But such a Mahatma is very rare, Krishna says. So, we don't expect everyone to understand Krishna immediately, but we can do if we want. We can cross over many births of endeavor simply by accepting, yes, Krishna is supreme. What is your question, please? Hare Krishna. Of this material world, yes. But Krishna's, Brahma, Krishna and Vishnu. Generally it's understood that Vishnu is supreme and Krishna is an avatar. And that's stated in Shastra that Krishna is an avatar of Vishnu. So that's true in one sense because Vishnu and Krishna are non-different. That there are the different forms, the Matsya, Karma, Kurma, Varaha, Narasingha, Vamandev, and so on. The different forms of the Lord, among whom Krishna is one, and they're all considered Vishnu avatar. So that is true from a terrestrial perspective. From the point of view of this material world, if we're looking from down here up, then Krishna appears to come through the agency of Vishnu. But from Krishna's perspective, he is the origin of Vishnu. He says, Aham sarvasya prabhavaha, everything comes from me. That means the Vishnu form also. He says, Mataparataramnanya, nothing is superior to me. And actually we find that there are some aspects of Krishna which are not in Narayana. Narayana is not Vamshidhari. He doesn't play a flute. Krishna can take the form of Narayana. He can manifest that form. But Narayana in Vaikuntha, he's not playing the flute. He's not having the lila, the madhura lila, sweet pastimes as Krishna does. So, among pundits they may discuss this. But deep study of Shastra and understanding that The ultimate aspect of Bhagavan is not his power, but his sweetness. Then it's to be understood that the supreme form is Krishna. But we say Vishnu is supreme, because that's true. Krishna doesn't show his supremacy all the time, because he's very sweet. He appears like a little boy who's dependent on Mother Yashoda. But actually, even though he appears like that, he is supreme. He showed to Mother Yashoda the Vishwarup within his mouth. So Narayana is always, he's like a king, he's always supreme. So those who are most interested in majesty, they perceive Vishnu as the supreme form of Godhead. But those who go beyond that, to appreciate this, those who are very intimate with him, they appreciate his sweetness. Just like to Manmohan Singh's wife, he may be the prime minister, but to her, he's her husband. To her, it doesn't matter whether he's the prime minister or not. She's his wife, and if he mixes up his socks or something, she'll scold him. Why are you always doing that? So, even a big man, even the defense minister, he cannot chastise the prime minister in the same way that his wife can. So, from the prime minister's point of view also, his wife is more important to him than all the cabinet put together. So in the same way, Brahma and Shiva, they're very important. And those who are interested in majesty and power and opulence, they worship Vishnu as the supreme. And those who are very intimate with Krishna, they worship Mother Yashoda as more important than Brahma and Shiva, because she ties up Krishna. So this point is very difficult to understand, because we should see God as supreme. If we don't, then we'll be in illusion. But even going beyond that, into the realm of rasa, then we understand Krishna as supreme. So Krishna and Vishnu, they are non-different. And Krishna appears as the ninth avatar of Vishnu. But ultimately, Krishna, although non-different from Vishnu, has got something, this aspect of Bhagavan has more to offer, which is the prema madhurya, the sweetness of loving him in a very intimate way. So Brahma and Shiva, they are very important in this material world. And Lord Vishnu, along Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh, they oversee the Srishti, Stiti, Pralaya, and the Rajagun, Sattagun, Tamagun. But beyond all this, there is Krishna in the spiritual world, Golok Vrindavan. So that's very difficult for us to understand, because we're in this material world and we identify with it. So we should first of all understand the Supreme in His greatness. And then when we realize that and our need to surrender to Him, then we, as we surrender to Him more and more in bhakti, then we can appreciate what is the nature of His sweetness beyond His majesty. So we should appreciate the greatness of the Supreme Lord through Bhagavad Gita, and then study Srimad Bhagavatam and hear Srimad Bhagavatam to appreciate His greatness. And the greatest aspect of His greatness is that for the sake of His devotees, He appears to be not great, and He agrees to be tied up by Mother Yashoda. Hare Krishna.